Well, darlings, hello and happy Friday, day of Venus. Did you think I'd forgotten about you? Because, of course, I'm, you know, it's the final hour. I'm doing this in the final hour of a very, very full week, a very, very big time that we are all in, which we've constantly heard over and over and over again. And it's the day of Venus. I've just been doing a little bit of sacred mirror work. I've been working very strongly with Ankh medicine this week, which of course makes sense because it's very aligned to Venus, who is of course the ruler of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Let's not forget about that she actually holds the key, the life force, Ankh, the key to this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And she's in fiery, dynamic Aries. Self, identity, yeah, and it's just such a big time. So I've waited right through to the final hour. Joel's like, I'm gonna mow. Can I mow while you're doing the podcast? And I'm like, yep. This is Taurus. This is living life. This is finding magic in the mundane. And look, yes, a podcast should be sound free. I get that quality audio is very important, darlings. And, you know, the little upgrade and all the things are happening in the background for what's going on for the new iteration of my podcast. Yes, it's you know, it's building, it's coming. But for today and the message that is really strong and that I'm seeing everywhere is to stop disassociating. Stop human bypassing and spiritualizing everything. Oh, you know, just stop making everything. Because the funny paradox is, and something that I've lived by for a long time, is everything means nothing and nothing means everything, right? And there's this real sweet spot within that. And I've spoken of this story many times where people are like, oh, you know, my kid broke my crystal. What does that mean? Keep your kid away from your crystals is what it means. Like, oh, this happened because I took a liquid crystal. No, nothing happened because you took the liquid crystal, right? Like, this is not projecting and getting out of the human consciousness. And especially at the moment, you know, this is the strongest message that has been profound in these times is the dehumanization of being a human and the ascension without the descension, the 5D without the 3D. Are all of these things open to us? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. This quantum reality that you can actually live in, control, warp, move through space and time. Like, we are magical, my friends, magical. But unless you've done a whole lot of fucking mastery on yourself, that stuff's not, it's there, but it's sort of like what I shared in the Atlantis Rising Masterclass. If you have not watched that yet, oh my God, you're missing out on like hours of just, it was an incredible class. I think it was like 3 hours or something. Unbelievable stuff that just came through and because of what's going on. And again, it's this magic that's hidden in plain sight. And oh my goodness, like where do I even start today? I don't even know. I'm already like just in this vortex of what I want to talk about. I've been writing notes all day on and off. I've been diving into text and, you know, reading, and I've had a sauna. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to astrology. I'm in the space deeply in my body, deeply, deeply present. And like I said, I'm bringing this to you at the final hour of Aries season. You know, the sun's at 29 degrees Aries. We move into Taurus season, very, you know, like smack bang pretty much on midnight on the 20th of May. And that really solidifies and amplifies, of course, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, right? Like, which, as I've been saying for all year, is in play all of April and all of May. You know, this is there's this width, you know, we want to talk about this width, the depth of the conjunction, but the width of the conjunction, it's wide. Jupiter is expansive. Jupiter is the biggest planet in our solar system. Massive, right? And so there's this width that's happening at the moment. Maybe you're feeling that. Maybe you're grasping that. You're feeling the enormity, but then the infinite potentials and infinity of life, and that the universe within universes and the expansion and the explosions and the cosmos, and you know, like, it just keeps going and going and going. Like, there's infinite nothingness around us, you know, like it's vast and it's wide. And Jupiter hitting Uranus, which is happening right now as we're speaking, you know, is expanding these Uranian fields, okay, of this unconscious energy that's playing out. Not the ego, but the unconscious, the higher self, the higher mind. And that is what Uranus is. Uranus represents the higher mind. It's the higher octave of Mercury, which is the lower mind. Yeah. So there's so much to speak about. And I, you know, I've been, like I said, taking notes all day. My knee is feeling so, like, honestly, I nearly look like I was walking properly. And whilst I can't completely straighten my leg out still, I'm going to the physio tomorrow. But of course I'm going to the physio tomorrow. It's the first day of Taurus. I'm getting straight into my body. And there's so much to talk about. I feel like I could just talk for 7 hours, you know, like, in the expansive phenomena that is life in general, but of course with what's going on and sort of setting, you know, we've been setting the scene for this Jupiter Uranus conjunction all year, you know, and it's here now, you know, it's here and it's active and it's exact for us here in Australia on the 21st. And then both Jupiter and Uranus move to the next degree before Jupiter sort of flicks off and he keeps going. And ultimately, this is why the energy is still active. We're working with Jupiter, the largest planet. You know, he makes everything bigger, more expansive. Whatever he touches, we have more of. And so this is more of Uranus at the moment. So this is more ideas, more electricity, more sudden epiphanies, more energy, more angst, more disruption, more chaos, you know. It's more of everything that you can think of, that, and especially around anything that's suppressed. You know, often Uranus, because he liberates us from what is oppressed, he will bring repressed or suppressed energies. Hello, the unconscious, the subconscious energies. He bubbles them up like a volcano. So maybe you're feeling fucking frustrated. Maybe you're feeling antsy, like you need some, you know, like, you know, Joel had his car service today. And so we've sort of been back and forth because, you know, I drove him and, you know, drove back and yada, yada. And we just had Triple J on and there was like this real whimsical song on, like, la, 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 la. And she's like, yeah. So if you ever like need, like, this is the host, you know, because Triple J hosts are pretty wanky. It's just like, yeah. So, you know, if you really need to just like belt it out or you're feeling, I was like, feeling angry, that's the tune. And I was like, what the fuck is she talking about? You're not fucking dealing with rage with some fucking soft la la la. Who did Joel say it sounded like? Like, he's like, it's a fucking Avril Lavigne song. And I was like, yes. Like, this isn't rage material. Give me something that's screaming and fucking getting me into my body. You know, not ethereal fucking weird pop rock. Anyway, that's beside the point, but I'm just saying, like, you might be feeling rageful and something just happened just then and Joel's like, you want to punch me, don't you? I said, yes, I do. I think I do. And I'm like, I'm not actually even angry. I've just got all of this energy and it's a bummer because, like, if I could train, I'd probably go and like fucking just get it out at an F45 class, to be honest. Like, it was great to be in the sauna today, but again, like, everything for me has been very still lately, which I'm completely fine with. I'm not someone who escapes and busies myself from where I'm at, my body, you know, my feelings, my thoughts. It's just not something that I do. I sit with everything. You know, and it's been 4 weeks now that I've been deeply in this space of healing physically, and I've been doing a lot of work with network chiro, you know, osteos, saunas, all those things. Of course, like I've been supporting myself as I do, but, you know, like I can just feel this energy, you know, and this is hitting my Venus. It's opposed my own Uranus. It's hitting my Sun Chiron. So there's quite a lot of energy, and maybe you're feeling that. So maybe you're feeling like you need not a fucking Avril Lavigne song, my friends. That is not angsty music. That is teenage motherfucking pop. So, I mean, it wasn't actually Avril Lavigne on Triple J, but you know, you get my gist here. I mean, we're talking like just some fucking maybe, I don't know, like even sometimes just a Tool song for me does it. I know Joel is the king of just like, he's got this French band that he listens to, and the drumming is just like fucking next level. It's just like intense, and he's always got that sort of music on. But yeah, you know, maybe that's the feel, but maybe that's not the feel for you. Maybe you're really gliding with this. And, you know, I did a bit of a poll earlier this week, how everyone was feeling. And, you know, the majority was either feeling everything, feeling super sensitive. And then there was, you know, people like fucking flying high, which is awesome. And, you know, and that is, you know, this is an exciting transit. It's just a lot of energy. And so if you can channel it well, you know, that's a really positive space to be. Where do we go from here? Let me have a little drink. I've got my mirror, my Hathorian mirror in front of me. I'm working with some Egyptian magic at the moment. I'm very thirsty because of that sauna. I didn't drink enough water going into it. Yeah, you should see my bed. I've got my Egyptian katush. I've got my Hathorian mirror. Of course, I've got my book with my Chandra symbols in it because that never goes anywhere. I've got my notes. And then I've, of course, got everything about the deacons of astrology. So let me have a look at my notes. Let's sort of dive in because, look, lovers, it is a big week coming up. And again, as I have been saying for weeks now, really until the new moon in Taurus, we are in a washing machine of energies. You can be crying 1 minute, soaring the next, you know, and quite often when I share, I'm just sharing a collective energetic thing. So people will come at me going, oh, but I feel good. I'm like, well, that's great. Like, I'm not personally attacking anyone here. Like, chill the fuck out. And then like moments later, like I see on their stories, oh my God, I've had a meltdown. I'm just like, yeah, bitch, shut up. Like, you know, like I'm just like, don't shoot the messenger, right? Like you might think that you're flying high and you're untouchable, but this is about reality. This is about being a human. And that is pretty much what I have written in bold, all caps, ground. You are a human. Get into your body. And what I'm seeing is people having accidents. People are going through physical things, especially at the moment. And you know, I said this in eclipse season, you know, like there's a lot of physical things going on, physical upgrades or physical ailments. Chiron's been involved here with the eclipse. You know, this has been a time, right? Like this has been a time of wounds. And that can be physical wounds, it can be emotional wounds, it can be heart wounds, yeah? So it can be emotional wounds. This can be a time of, it's been, excuse me, as we know, like I don't need to preach to the choir here. You know it, you feel it, you've been experiencing it. So pretty much from 2 weeks before that first full moon, lunar eclipse, back in March, darlings. So back in March, you know, we're looking at a 2 month vortex. And that's just because, you know, of course, like we're moving now to this full moon in Scorpio. Yeah. And that's building. So now we've come off the solar eclipse where like this moon is, you know, this moon is waxing and it's building and it's growing in capacity and energy to a full moon, death moon, Hades moon, Plutonian moon, like come into the cave, come to the underworld, eat the pomegranates. You are meeting Hades because the moon itself is a Hades moon and it's square Pluto who rules the moon. So it's like Then, from that Hades moon, another full 2 weeks before we get this new moon in Taurus, which is going to feel like a fucking exhilarating orgasm, okay? That's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call the new moon in Taurus an exhilarating orgasm. And maybe that's what I'll call the little workshop that I'm going to do around manifesting and working with the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. I know that we will be past the exact conjunction by this time, but we are still in it. Now the sun is in Taurus as well, obviously, because we move into Taurus season on the 20th. Venus will be in Taurus, so she's going to be in her home sign. Mars will be in his home sign. I mean, look, if you're not feeling everything right now, are you even alive? Like, what are you doing? I mean, oh my gosh, if I talk about what happened last weekend in Sydney, I'm gone. Like, I have cried copious amounts of tears for what happened, and so many tears. And it's just this, again, this was no typical Aries season. It's been no typical Mercury retrograde. It's been no typical eclipse season. This has been everything on steroids. And with Mars in Pisces, you know, this is the end, the death, the final degrees of the entire zodiac. It's been a very, very, very emotional, turbulent, foggy, dissolving Aries season, you know? And if you're tuned in, you will be feeling that. Yeah. Like, it's not been an Aries season where you're kicking goals and flipping. I don't know. Maybe you are. That's awesome. Like I said, that's awesome. Each one of us is going to be experiencing the energies differently, right? Because of our own chart. And if your chart's not being heavily activated by certain things, but if you're not like collectively feeling stuff, like, yeah, I'm just like, wow. 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 To be able to switch off absolutely everything. And especially after what happened last weekend, you know, like, that has rattled and shaken so much. And, you know, Pisces, all this Pisces energy, Saturn, you know, Neptune and Mars, both malefics and Neptune, and the tears, oceans of tears have fallen for that. Have fallen, especially this last week. You know, that grief that the community is feeling, that families and friends and Australia is feeling, is really, really wild. It's, yeah, I just can't. So, this is the brutality of being human and feeling and experiencing everything, you know. And if we can't experience grief and feel that in our bones, then how will we ever experience true joy? You know, the lip service of I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful, that lip service means nothing if you don't feel it. So this is the thing, right? Like, Taurus is embodiment. Taurus is feeling these things deep within ourselves, within our waters, within our molecules, within our skin, you know. And this Mars in Pisces has been super sensitive. It's like everything that's sort of out there, you know, I really am feeling, you know, that real sensitivity that Pisces, the archetype of Pisces. So anyone with like a Pisces sun, a Pisces moon, even Pisces rising perhaps, but, you know, Pisces heavy people really experience all the time. I mean, I've got not one planet in Pisces, so I'm really experiencing this Pisces archetype so strongly at the moment. I mean, you know, we're really going to bypass Aries season, which we have, bar Mercury being in Aries, of course, Chiron in the North Node, but Mars will enter Aries, and May is going to be a really different energetic month. Like, we're going to have Venus in her home sign, Mars in his home sign, Jupiter and the Uranus conjunction still going, the moon, that new moon in Taurus, exalted, It's pretty bloody delicious. You know, I'm pretty sure it's like May and June that are like two of the most luscious sort of months of the year. But right now, like feeling the grief gives us permission to feel the joy. And I think that that is the contrast and the paradox of being alive. This is Taurus. So whilst, you know, it might feel great, like, you know, for a revolution to be, oh my God, like, I don't know, like that people are saying, oh, you're going to win the lotto, and oh, like, oh my God, all these things. Like, there's a lot of shit out there. You know, there's just a lot of, again, A, pop astrologers, B, non-astrologers sharing the astrology and then trying to market and sell their programs. Seriously, give me a break. And then there's astrologers, you know, three very different categoried people. And, you know, this is very unexpected terrain that we're in, and it is exciting and it is abundant. And I do not want to take away from that because it absolutely is. Like, it really is. And it is like, it is the end, full stop. Yeah. It's also very unpredictable. You know, there is a lot of chaotic instability in the world right now. And that is the call then for the revolution that happens now. Can that revolution for you be the simple things, these simple Taurean things? Because that's really the new 14-year cycle that we're setting up. Yeah. We're setting up something that could, you know, there could be spontaneous, out of the blue things absolutely happen this weekend and over the next 6 weeks. Absolutely. You know, really life-changing sort of pivoting things, like where you were like, oh, la 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 la, bam. And that can be good. That bam can be good or bad. Like that bam, and it's perceived good or bad, right? Like Uranus shakes up. Uranus will awaken the unconscious within you to set you on the right path, even if it is uncomfortable. So, yes, this next 6 weeks where this is really active, for sure, there could be some really incredible things that happen in the 6 weeks. And even, and again, maybe have even started to happen over the past few weeks in Aries season. Yeah. However, we're actually still seeding something for the next 14 years, and you might start to see some of this in a year or 2 years or 4 years. You know, this can be a time where we're going to watch Jupiter now, because the Jupiter Uranus conjunction is like a new moon, right? So again, it's the dark moon. So it's the seeding part. So, and then Jupiter's going to be making the aspects that he will make with Uranus and really giving us the cycle that we're about to go on with Jupiter and Uranus over the next 14 years. And excuse me. So again, if nothing lightning bolt happens to you in the next 6 months, it's okay. Be okay. Don't be caught up in the hype or the sensationalization, which is usually from the pop astrologer culture or non-astrologers. Okay. So please remember that. I'm saying this from my heart. Like, I am not saying, like, a lot of what I say, I laugh about because, you know, like, there's times where we can be deeply reverent and then irreverent, laugh, fucking, you know, it's a joke, whatever. And then there's like this heart stuff, you know, I've got moon in my 10th house. You know how much I love you? You know, like it kills me how much I love the collective. You know, and there's this protective mothering thing that comes with that. To have my moon in her home sign of Cancer, right? I've got a Cancer midheaven, which means that the ruler of my midheaven is in my, so the ruler of my 10th is in my 10th at home in her domicile. This is a very strong signature. Then she's squaring Pluto, sextiling Venus, who is also, Venus is the ruler of my chart, also in domicile. There's some strong signature things here, and I want to say that, you know, this is from my heart. And, you know, I do throw away comments sometimes where I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, shut up, don't come at me with your shit. And it's laughable. Like, just, it's a joke, you know, really. I think you can feel that. And I think that that's what's absolutely beautiful about all of you that listen. The messages I get, the emails I get, you know, honestly, you guys do not even know. the fact that some of you are like, you're the only podcast I listen to, it's every week, like all of these things, thank you so much, you know. And so when I share this stuff, it's to inform you. And I know that I can't protect you. I know that. And oh my God, I'm tearing up with this, but I've been fucking crying pretty much solidly for a week. But I do try and protect your hearts, because I don't like people taking advantage of other people. This is a huge value system for me. And you hear me bang on about it. Charlatans that rip people off, all those sorts of things. People that are charging, you know, $800 for a 1 hour reading with them. Fuck off. You know, like it's unbelievable. And I get very protective. So it comes from this space of deep love, but also this fierceness. You know, I've got Pluto in my first house, square my moon. You know, there is nowhere for me to hide. And this is the interesting thing, because wherever the sign of Cancer is, and especially your moon, but for me, it's like a double whammy. You can't actually hide, you know, your sun. And for me, I'm born in a waxing crescent moon. And also, my son's in the eighth house, which is, of course, deep in the shadow parts of the occult and the taboo and, you know, where I am most comfortable, darlings, you know. So, but I can never, you know, because my heart, which is my moon, is in the 10th house of my reputation and what's in the public, I will always really, really show up raw and authentic, and no matter what, and you know that, like, I mean, you come to me and thank you for your feedback, but I also sometimes just want to just say, you know, like, apparently I'm a spiritual comedian, but the thing is that I, you know, we've got to have lightness. We've got to be like the Buddha and throw our heads back in laughter. And it's not, we've got to laugh or we'll cry. Fuck, cry, please cry. If you're avoiding crying and masking it with laughter, again, we can't experience the joy. Let me tell you, the joy that sometimes just the way the breeze hits my face brings me to my knees in tears. How I can watch the bats every night and be in awe of them every night. It doesn't get boring to me. And so if I can experience joy so profoundly, then I will experience grief. And I will experience the brutality of what can happen with the conditions of being a human. Yeah? Which is that deep sadness, the troughs, the peaks. Just being alive is divine. Just being a human is divine. And I think by sharing all of these things right now, is the message of this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. You are seeding a revolution around Taurian things. And, you know, I feel pretty apt to be giving you the advice, considering the way my Venus is in my chart and that I have a stellium in Taurus. So when we look about what is the revolution going to be for you, can it be things that bring you pleasure? Can we move away from the complication and come back to simplicity? Can rest be your revolution? Can embodiment be your revolution? Touching the earth with your feet, watching the bats, the sunrise, the sunset, stargazing, earth kissing, touching a leaf, watering the plants. This is actually the message of the next 14 years, because look, AI, I mean, I listened to Kai Pacha today, and I actually haven't listened to Kai Pacha for a long time. I used to listen to him every week, and I listened to him today, and he said that he was watching a documentary, right? And so, okay, I'm being like the person that said the person, right? So I'm listening to Kai Pacha, who is relaying something that he watched from another person. And this other person saying, like, pretty much 2037's the end. Like, that's when it's just going to all blow up or whatever. And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I mean, if you don't already know that, like, maybe you're living under a rock, or maybe you're, you know, holding on to hope, or, and I'm not trying to be doomsday, you know me. I'm nothing if I'm not real and honest and raw and, you know, and I'm not right. You know, I'm certainly not right. This is just sort of, this is the thing is the world can't go on forever anyway. I mean, we all know that, like, that's not, there's going to be some shit happen, right? And so Kaipacha was listening to this guy talk about 2037. And look, I'm not saying 2037, like, the world's going to blow up. It's, again, like I said, it's not a if thing, it's a when thing, right? We're already seeing it, let's just be honest. We're already in this, you know, cyber war, digital war, communication war. Like, it's already happening, a war of words, a war of what's the truth, what's not. Jupiter rules the truth. But what is the truth when pretty much everything we read now is computer generated? It's not coming from humans anymore. Their photos, their words, their sale pitches, their marketing, all of that stuff. And the acceleration of this has just been wild. You know, and yet, good on you for saying, I use AI, I use AI, good on you for saying that, but we can all tell. But the thing is what was really interesting about listening to Kaipacha, and again, I'm like doing secondhand shit here, so go and listen to the Kaipacha thing, is that AI now apparently has the IQ of Einstein, like 158 or something, and Einstein was 160 or something like that. And the most, you know, so it's going to surpass us, of course. Like, that's just, I mean, that's inevitable. Like, of course, that was always going to happen. But things are accelerating. And so what I find incredible about this, and what I'm excited about, is that a butterfly can still bring me to tears. A real life butterfly. That the way the tree dances in the wind still humbles me. The way that the wind touches me still gives me goosebumps, you know? And for me, being a human is a miracle. And if the revolution is around getting back to the humanness, well, you know, that's really what it is. I mean, we're talking about Taurus here, the most material, physical, manifesting, embodied archetype that there is, right? So I'm just opening up the conversation to you and inviting you to welcome these things in, or to maybe sit with yourself and ask these questions, you know? What do you really need? You know, Taurus energy is around what they need. What are your needs? Because your needs, and this is exactly what Kaipacha said, what a Taurus needs is very different to what a Scorpio needs. But let's just take even astrology out of it. What you need is different to what I need. You know, I'm talking to probably many Taurians out there, but maybe all you've got is your sun in Taurus, right? Maybe you've got your moon in Taurus. Maybe, you know, a sun in Taurus with a Venus in Aries. Your needs are very different to my needs, even though we've both got our sun in Taurus, because my Venus is in Taurus. So our needs are so unique and so like a fingerprint to us that if you don't even know what you need, how then can you receive that? If you're confused about your own needs, how then can the universe deliver those for you? Because this is sacred law, you know, not just the law of attraction, wanky, yada, yada, fucking funnel, sell, market. This is literally a law. And we see this, the laws of nature. So what do you need? And maybe you need to be sitting with that, because a lot of people want for a lot of things, more money, more status, more likes, more attention, more followers. And, you know, and what people are wanting more of is often really, really not of any value. What is Taurus value? So some of these words that I wrote down: Taurus things, pleasure, simplicity, trusting your own inner resources, self-sufficiency, slowing down, savoring life, shifting your priorities, coming to terms with your own sacred values. And really meeting them, meeting your own sacred values, not what you think everyone, not what you think that you should have as a value or a need, but what they really are. And you might find that, you know, a lot of these wants are stripped away because, of course, they're just ego, right? So really getting back to basics is the fundamental part of this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. The revolution in being a human, being in the body. Yeah? Jupiter can help us change our perception. And that's what's really great about this, is that Jupiter is like, yeah, like I said, the truth. You know, Jupiter grows and expands what he touches. But this is also around this quest. You know, Jupiter holds that energy of the guru, you know, which again is you in your own life, just like you are God and I am God. Nothing outside of us is God. And I think that that's what's so striking about this being this is where this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is. It happens to be in Taurus, the second sign of the zodiac. It's around our own inner resources, our sovereignty, our trusting ourselves, turning the Venusian mirror back to us, looking at our reflection. You know, that question of what do you need? I'd get really clear on that. What will you seize? Look at the opportunities. And again, it's like, look at the signs, look at look at what is being presented to you, everything being a, you know, look at what's being presented to you. And then it's sort of like, see it, let go of the expectations of what it should look like. Oh, my light just went out. That's really weird. Oh, and now my light's flashing. Okay, hello, hello there. And it come back on again. Okie dokie. That's Uranus. That's electricity, my friends. So notice, pay attention, you know, and again, get into your body, get into your physical vessel. And as I have often said is, you know, I don't believe in spiritual bypassing. Like, I get that it's got its place and I get where people use that term from, because they're using spirituality to bypass everything pretty much. And so for me, I've always just called a human bypassing, because for me, I'm like, it's very easy to tap out, to meditate for hours, to go and sit in ceremonies and circles and literally detach from real life. Like, that's easy. Anyone can do that. How is it then when you can embody the practices and experiences and then experience them in your daily life? Like, how then? That is enlightenment. That is truly being enlightened. And because the other alternative of maybe, you know, sitting in ashrams and things like that, I'm not saying they're bad. Of course they're not bad. They can help to unlock things for you. Sitting quietly and contemplating and, you know, emptying out, for sure. Like, that's beautiful. So beautiful. But it's also, there's an ease to that, because when you do things like that, or go for these retreats and weekends and Bali's and blah, 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 blah. Like, when you're doing all these external things, you're not in your house with your children, in the shopping center, doing the school run, at netball, at basketball, in the, you know, buying the toilet paper, having the sick kid, having the dying pets. Like, you're not in reality. And so it's easy. And so let's, you know, Jupiter and Uranus is now in Taurus going, the revolution is in being human. It's embodying and experiencing and savoring life. It's getting out of your own way. It's coming back to simple pleasures. And it's interesting because here we are. We haven't had the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus since 1941. Okay. Now, of course, that means we won't get it again for another like 84 years, right? So 84 years ago, you know, we were in the Great Depression, right? And of course, what does Taurus rule? Money. So we're seeing all this stuff with money and, you know, like, just everything's digital and cashless and all these things, right? Like, so these things will obviously become a normal way of living. So you've got all the money stuff, but back 84 years ago, or back in 1941, when this conjunction happened, and it happened at, what was it, 25 degrees of Taurus. So very, you know, even closer to the fixed star of Algol on the 8th of May, actually. Interestingly enough, like, let's just sort of put that into context, you know, the 8th of May, 1941, Jupiter and Uranus come together at 25 degrees Taurus. And what was also there was Lilith, the Sun, Saturn, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter and Uranus. So 60% of the entire sky happened to be in Taurus that year, that at that time, at that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. And then that Jupiter-Uranus conjunction actually trined down to Neptune and the North Node in Virgo. So there's more Earth, and made a square to Mars in Aquarius. Very, very interesting. So, and then back then, you know, Uranus was about to go into Gemini, which was World War II. Okay. So there's some really big energies that are going on here, like really, really big things. And there's some similar sort of, again, layers playing out. So the fact that now we're about to move into like the era of air, technology, digital, you know, all this sort of stuff. But this Jupiter Uranus, the revolution is in the simplicity. The revolution is coming back to your body. The revolution is in slowing down. The revolution is in resting. The revolution is in listening to music. The revolution is in the pleasure and the touch and the hug and the love and the, you know, the simple joys of life, which is Taurus. Again, slowing down to speed up, slowing down to gain momentum, slowing down to embody and experience what is present. I think I spoke about that last week at the end of the potty, you know, around, you know, everyone's just so rushing to get to the next thing and no one's present anymore. No one's just enjoying and present with what's going on, because there's always the next thing. There's always more. There's always something else. There's always a distraction. It's, I'm too busy. I'm too this. You know, and the disassociation from the body and who you are, you know, a lot of people are like, how do you know who you are? And I'm like, well, you know your inner workings and you're honest with yourself about those things. I mean, God, that's a whole nother fucking podcast. But look, I mean, this, interestingly enough, a couple of things that I want to talk about here, because I'm looking at the time and I'm like, shit, okay. Interestingly enough, I just wanted to mention that the Mercury Kazemi that we just had last week, that eclipse that we had, that we're, you know, on the, that we're still in. Remember, we're still in eclipse season. And eclipse season will, like, officially be over on the 24th when we have the full moon in Scorpio, but we're still then in that waning purge portal, okay? So we're going to be in this waning moon purge portal, still pretty intense. And then, yeah, we've got that orgasmic sort of new moon in Taurus. But there's been some really interesting revelations, and I'm just wanting to invite you to really reflect, because this Mercury retrograde has actually been super powerful. Like I said, none of this has been usual. This energy has been like off the Richter scale, like it's volcanic. And the Mercury retrograde has been tainted with the North Node, which is around our destiny, and Chiron, which is around those identity wounds that we have, or what we identify as a wound, or how, you know, even old looping stories that we label on ourselves and we hold as a part of our identity. So I don't know about you, but for me, what has come up over the past couple of weeks, especially since the solar eclipse in Aries, which was, of course, exactly conjunct Chiron. I mean, something really that came up for me was this rawness of being vulnerable. You know, there's so much out there that's around, like, trying to hack, you know, I'll give you all the hacks to make your life this and this and this, do it my way. I'll give you this hack to earn this money. I'll give you this hack to do this. You know, people are trying to sell false happiness. And what we're really needing is people to be real and vulnerable and share and show up as who they really are, not with these weird masks and facades and, you know, trying to make everything look golden and shiny and curated, you know, far out. It's just, it's boring, it's one dimensional, and it's not real. And so the expression of the self, for, you know, because of course we've got all this stuff in Aries, the North Node, Chiron, obviously the Sun, Mercury retrograde, Eris, Hygieia, you know, like we've got all this stuff pointing back to our identities and pointing back to who we are. And remember, most of the sky, like all of the sky is in Pisces, the end of the zodiac, the dissolving, the becoming one with the universe, Aries, the self, the I am, the identity, and Taurus, that level of material sovereignty, inner resources, pleasures, the physical body. So it's very condensed right now, darlings. You know, it's very, very condensed into just a few parts of our own natal charts. And in the sky, it's so condensed into just those themes. And look, like I said, if you're not feeling these things, if it's still like, yay, light and love, love and light, roses and butterflies and la, 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 like, again, you know, living in la, la land must be fun. You know, being a space cadet, perhaps, and not being aware, you know, and I've said this on the podcast a million times, like, you know, me and Joel often laugh, like, wouldn't it just be so great to be an unaware person walking around? I mean, look, you're all here with me, you know, I'm assuming that you all get me here and you get it. But, you know, the invitation is also to reflect, because now we're going to enter Taurus season, which is embodiment. And with everything that's going on, like it is big time. It is big stuff. Exciting and big and vast and wide and deep. But the reflection part is something that, I don't know, I've been really sitting with. And I said this in my podcast last week, so I don't want to repeat myself because I've got like 15 minutes before it's time to tap out. So I just want to ask, what's landed for you? Where have you been maybe expressing yourself and showing up more authentically than usual? Or how does that wound you? Or if someone else is doing it and you're triggered by that, how does your projection on other people affect you? You know, because only you are responsible for your triggers and only you are responsible for what you expect of other people and your projections. So because the wound has been so activated in this solar eclipse and with the Mercury retrograde and with Venus hitting it, Mars will come in and hit it. You know, this is a time of really activating and getting to the core crux, the bottom of the barrel. And that can be confronting. And it's very easy to point fingers. And this is what doing the work is and knowing thyself is, knowing the traumas, knowing when you are projecting, knowing when you are turning that mirror onto everyone else because you're just too fucking scared to look at yourself. Because it's so much easier to point that finger at everyone. So what has landed in reflection with this Mercury retrograde around your I am, your identity, your wounds, what you think, the way you speak, your desires, your physical body, the way you take action. You know, coming to consciousness comes with growing pains. And I had this in like all of my clients, like at the moment, like I've got a lot of clients over the next 6 weeks, and it's so cool, you know, because you've got a session with me right in the heart of some pretty fucking rad shit. So I've had a lot of clients this week and it has been exciting. And there's just been lots of visuals coming through. And one of them was like, I said, it's like growing a limb, you know, and we're growing into something different. We are growing into a different version of ourselves and the growing pains are here. Coming to consciousness comes with a price of our old lives, of our old beliefs, of our old selves, of our old ways. And for me, I've spent 4 weeks with a physical injury and that I brought on myself. Okay. This wasn't because I was too busy. I know everyone loves to project that. Oh, it's telling you to slow down. No, that might be your story. That is not my story. Can you ever imagine me like being a fast-paced person? Like, come on. Like, I am not a busy person. I am not a distracted person who is always on the go. Darlings, darling, let me tell you, I am a Taurus through and through. And yes, some Taurians can busy themselves, but the thing is that being busy is a distraction. That's all it ever is, because everyone's got full lives. Everyone's got work and kids and play, and everyone's got those things. But choosing to be scattered, accelerated, and not present and busy is very different than having a full life where you are present and where you are participating and where you are showing up in dedication, devotion, and intention. Very, very different. Okay, so I want to say, firstly, my injury was caused by myself. Okay, it was my fault. It was something that I needed very, very big. And I've spent 4 weeks, 2 of those weeks in a very, very dark place where I had to come to some pretty big realizations, okay, and make some pretty big decisions. And so the last couple of weeks have been coming out of that place, coming out of a very lonely place. And knowing that I want to change the second half of my life and the way that I live and what I choose to do. Okay. And it's been huge, and it makes so much sense because, of course, I'm coming up to my Uranus opposition. This is a part of our midlife transits. And this is a part where we really, it's that seesaw. It can go one way or the other. And you will see people come to their midlife, their Uranus opposition, and you know what they do? They just distract some more. They have affairs. They still strive for material things. It's still about money. It's all that stuff. But no, for me personally, I can't speak for everyone, but for me, like collectively, a lot of society does that. I mean, I could write a book on the people that have done that in their midlife crisis. But then there are others who don't, you know, because again, coming to consciousness comes with the price. And Uranus and your Uranus opposition, which happens between 42 to 44, it can be like either, you know, stepping into a new sense of consciousness, or it can be distracting yourself from yourself. And so, yeah, I just want to say that this has been such a big time of reflection. And with all of this airy stuff, it's all been pointing back to ourselves. This has got nothing to do with what happened 2 years ago, 6 years ago. It's got nothing to do with anything else but you now. You know, it's like no one's coming to save you. No one's like you are you. You are here. You are your wound. You are your wisdom. You are your medicine, but you are also your destruction. So it's up to you. Yeah. And when you can come to these places, it's, and this is what this turbulent time, hopefully, you know, and it's great if you've breezed through and not one thing's come up for you and you're just like, it's been an amazing time. Fucking, and you've not had any transformations or growth. Awesome. Like, that's good for you. Like, maybe that's been your experience. I've had people message me saying, it's been nothing but amazing. I'm like, great. Mine's been nothing but fucking deep and transformational and taking me to the ends of the earth of what I want. And you know what? I fucking love that too. You know, like, because I don't want to stay the same. And now we still get this exciting Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is offering us up something new. And I want to read you the symbol of this because, like I said, I could keep talking. I mean, I haven't even really unpacked the full moon, you know, Mercury's going direct. Like it's such a huge week. And I want to tell you, next week is tender, darlings. And the next 3 weeks are tender. Like I said, up until May the 8th and that orgasmic new moon coming up, we are in sensitive, sensitive moments. And especially next week, you know, we've got, you know, because Venus is moving towards Chiron. We've got Mars Neptune, which is very, you know, this, which can bring a lot of sensitivity. And of course a Hades full moon, a death moon, which is sort of like cherry on the fucking cake of this eclipse season. And it's just like cake smash time. It's just like, it's like things will be uprooted, exposed, fucking intensified. Let me tell you. But I want to read you the symbol the Chandra symbol for the degree of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which I'm frothing at. A blindfolded woman who sees the future, witnessing dispassionately the flow of time, standing outside of all linear progression and knowing what it is like and knowing what is likely to happen here. Supremely disengaged from surface affairs, even lightly dismissive of all secondary considerations, but tuned right in to the thread of prophecy and inner vision. Granted a certain grace to follow the inner track and serving a larger function as part shaman, part seer, and part commonsensical advisor. Salty wit, earthy and pithy, no nonsense. I mean, you know, you listen to my podcast and really, I mean, salty wit, earthy and pithy, no nonsense should be my fucking tagline, shouldn't it? You know where the bones are buried, penetrating insight, a throwback to simpler words. One who warns of dangers ahead and is not amused by factions and fragments and phantoms of common assumption. I will put that Chandra symbol in my stories on Instagram, or I'll do some sort of post, because I've got so much swirling around me. Maybe I should be coming on for a live on Instagram. I don't know. There's just so much present. There's so much here. It's rich. I'm savoring it. I have savored the last 4 weeks. I am savoring my tears. I am savoring the joy of the bats. I am savoring the love that I have, the simplicity of my life, and the revolution of being a human. Just being human is divine. The mundane for me is the most magical thing. And I really hope that in amongst a very, very, very visceral 1 hour podcast that you got with me today on the day of Venus, right at the nth degree of fucking 29 degrees sun in Aries, you know, it's, I really hope that there's been some seeds here that help you to remember your magnificence, to help you to remember that I care about you, that I do feel to protect you at times from the spiritual entertainment industry, right? And just, you know, I want to protect you, but I also hope that there were seeds here that could bring you back to your own joy and to your own humanness and to your own life that you are living, which is now, 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 which is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's now. Now is the only time that we have. So be present. Be present with what happens over this weekend. Over this next 6 weeks, of course, I'm going to see you, talk to you again, and I'm going to see you and be videoing these very, very soon, not from my bedroom, but from a desk with some headphones and with a fucking microphone to give you the sound quality that you deserve, darlings. But, you know, I just hope that I've given some substance to what can seem very formless out there. You know, I want to give form to the formless and shape to the shapeless. I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to know what I know. I want you to savor the pleasures of life and know that this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, it's seeding a whole 14 years. It's not just over the weekend. And if you can be present with that and know that it's about stripping back the bullshit, stripping back that no-nonsense stuff, you know, that earthy, pithy part of me just fires up reading that sentence. And I hope that you loved that symbol. I mean, it's just fucking so amazing, as they always are. So journey well, beautiful darlings out there. Journey well on this wild ride. Ride the wave into Taurus season, and I will be back. So much love.